Welcome. This is Dr. Susan Kalb with Temple of Health Radio Show, and today I'm very pleased to have as my guest Kathy Carlander, the author of Learn How to Facilitate Your Spiritual Growth by Accessing Your Akashic Records, The Discovery of the Essence of Your Soul. I had the opportunity a couple of nights ago to watch Biography on Edgar Cayce, and Edgar Cayce's story is very important to the interview we're going to be doing today. Edgar Cayce was probably the first psychic or clairvoyant to really explain the Akashic Records to the public. And, of course, he was in trance when he accessed the records. And probably the most important and exciting thing in my life is learning how to do this consciously on a minute-to-minute basis. And accessing the records is something that I think we are all destined to do. And Kathy is here to teach us how to do it correctly. Welcome, Kathy. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I'm looking at your website, Sacred Insights, if you'd like to give people that website, it's www.sacredinsights.com. Is that right?
That's right. And if they sign up for the newsletter, they'll get access to a guided meditation, also a little video clip, and some printed information that'll give them a little taste of, you know, kind of what I have to offer. And it's called Eye of the Storm, so it's really about helping them to reduce stress or the chaos in their life and how to handle that.
Well, it's interesting. Once you have access to the records, the stress actually automatically goes out of your life because you can always ask about the circumstances around whatever's happening and your best course of action. And that's really something very important. And if everybody could do that, there'd be a lot less drama in the world, and a lot less stress, and a lot less, you know, wasted energy, as far as I could see.
Absolutely. When I first, you know, people often ask me, well, how long have you been doing this, accessing the records? And my first response is, well, I've been doing it my entire life. I just didn't know
that's
what I was doing.
Exactly.
And so I went through this period of time where I thought, oh, wouldn't it be really cool to be psychic?
And you already were.
And I kind of went off in search of it. I'm taking classes, and I took Reiki classes. And I'm like, whoa, we're supposed to get, you know, more in tune and more open and and all that, have better insights. And then I end up in this Akashic Record class, and I took that, and I went, well, this is really cool. And we went through some practice group sessions and stuff. I thought, gosh, you know, I'm really pretty good at this. And it was coming so easy for me. And I thought, no, wait a minute. I think this is what I've been doing all along. I just didn't realize that's what I was doing. And what it gave me was a greater manageability so that I could turn it on when I wanted rather than just sort of being there sometimes and not having any control over it. And in those first few months, I had a friend of mine, and we would get together on the phone every Monday. We'd spend like 4 hours on the phone. She'd open her records, I'd open mine, we'd open each other's, and we would just talk about whatever happened during the week. And what we started discovering was that little, even little mundane things, all of a sudden had a different, took on a different meaning.
Right.
And we experienced so much personal growth in those 4 months that we did that. More than anything else, because we were looking at what so many people take for granted as, oh, it's just something happened, or I don't have any control over that, or it's someone else doing something to me, and I, you know. Once we started seeing the themes underneath these other little actions and things that were happening in our life, it was kind of like, oh, and then it made it a lot easier to clear those out of our lives and to find out what was the growth opportunity in them rather than just kind of continuing to be hit over the head with them until we slowly figured it out, you know. So it's very powerful stuff for people. And like you said, I also think that it is something that is everyone's birthright to be able to access their own records. Now, when it comes to accessing someone else's records, that's a different step. I wouldn't necessarily say that everyone has the birthright to do that.
Correct.
Because there's a certain level of responsibility and compassion, and that person needs to be in a good place themselves. But as far as accessing their own, it's a part of who they are. It permeates their entire being. So, you know, yes, absolutely, they have the right to do that. And it's just a matter of learning.
Well, early in your book, you mentioned something we've learned very well. Which is spirit is kind of run like the military on a need-to-know basis. And I got a kick out of your paragraph about, like, well, you might not be ready to hear the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Which I really love. And it is true. And that's mm-hmm. that principle also goes when you're asking for other people, especially when they ask you to ask, because I get that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I actually talk to my partner who is on this journey with me almost every day or every other day. We mm-hmm. Find that when we connect, we can ask, I would say, in a more clear manner, and also when you're asking for yourself, sometimes it's better to have another partner with you because you won't go down the wrong path, so to speak. And so I like to work in groups. We have a meditation group that meets every Sunday, and we do extensive group work there. We investigate the causes of a lot of diseases, cancer, autoimmune disease,
mm-hmm.
Morgellons. You know, we're from a spiritual level, you know,
mm-hmm.
from an all-encompassing level rather than just the individual patient level or the physical level alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really agree with your information in your book about working with others. It prevents you from really going down the wrong path and getting fooled by information that may not be what you actually interpret the information incorrectly. It's often that the information isn't incorrect. It's that your interpretation is incorrect. That's
what we're saying. Or you ask the wrong question.
Exactly. And I love what you're saying in here about having to ask the question correctly.
Uh-huh.
We find that when we're getting answers that are incongruent, that
mm-hmm.
it's because we've asked incorrectly.
That's right. Because the in the records, you know, whether you think of it as a record keeper, just send a master, whoever it is that's helping
mm-hmm.
with that process of, in the release of the information, they're releasing the information based upon the question you ask. Now, for example, I just had a client that I work with on a regular basis, and she also accesses records, and she's like, well, you know, I asked the question, do I need to do EFT or something for that day,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, she's, do I need to do it? And the answer was no. But then she said something, you know, there was a conflict later, and I said, well, okay, so let's rephrase that question. Did you put a time limit on that question? Did you
right,
say, do I need
yeah.
to do it today? Or
right.
do I need to do it ever again? Because that's a different question.
Yeah, or what we like to say is it advisable that I do the EFT for this problem this week, you know?
Right.
The answer is no, then you've got to go and ask, well, ever, you know?
Like, yeah.
Is this week just going to be a bitch and I'm not going to have time, or I'm not going to be able to release that energy this
right.
week, you know?
Or, you know?
What's the deal? Yeah.
Yeah, and so there is certainly an art form to
there is.
Ask the
there
questions.
Is.
And
yeah.
that's where, especially in the beginning for someone who's just learning, if they
mm-hmm.
have a partner or a friend or mm-hmm. a group, that's the benefit, I think, of that, is that you get that extra perspective. Someone else, like, oh, they can might help you fine-tune or tweak your question. They might catch
mm-hmm.
something in the wording. Like, oh, wait a minute, let's try it this way.
Right.
And so then you get a clearer, more usable answer for what you really want to know. And just like people have a hard time if you ask them, what is it that you want? I'd say about 80%
yeah.
of the time, the first
exactly.
response out of their mouth, they're going to tell you what they don't want.
Exactly.
Because they don't know
right.
how to say what they
what
want.
They want. Right.
And so just like that, there's also, you know, it takes practice in figuring out how to ask questions to get
mm-hmm.
the information that they want, because first they have to know what information that they want.
Well, we should take a minute now, and I want to mention one thing that you mentioned early in your book, because it's a very, very important point. That is that the universe, of which we are all a part, so
mm-hmm.
there is only one, will not answer your questions if you don't ask them. So you have to learn to be in relationship with the records
mm-hmm.
so that you ask questions when you need guidance. And people,
mm-hmm.
in the Bible it says, ask and you shall receive.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many people go through life being victims and never
mm-hmm.
asking for what they need.
Mm-hmm.
They just simply assume they're not worthy, or they're not going to
mm-hmm.
get it, or, you know, life is cruel, or, you know, all these other
mm-hmm.
thought forms that we're trying to get out of. So the one thing that I loved in the early part of your book is when you said you've got to ask, and you've got
mm-hmm.
to understand that it's not just going to be handed to you. when you're in conscious relationship with this, with these records, you have to actually, like you say, develop a relationship and ask.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing I want to do a little bit, because people may not be familiar with Edgar Cayce and even the Akashic Records, I give you a minute to talk about what the records are, what you know, I kind of introduced the records through Cayce, but he was the first person that, at least I knew of, that had extensive information about the records and was able to navigate through them. And of course he did it in trance, you know.
Right.
Now we're doing it consciously, which is a lot better, you know.
Yes, it is.
the poor guy did readings that were usually 45 minutes long, and he'd have to lay down and go out, go into another altered state of consciousness.
And
he wasn't even aware of what he was doing. He didn't know what he was saying. They had to tell him afterwards. Exactly.
So
it's exciting. We're in a time when we can do this, and it's because the energy of the planet is different. I mean, this is what's happening is that there's a huge amount of change in the planet. There's cosmic energy coming in through the poles that is increasing the energy of the planet. I once saw this this article in the AJC. Scientists do not understand why this cosmic energy is coming in through the poles. So, of course, we ask. Oh, it's going to be the ascension. Great. But it literally, scientifically, it's proven that the energy, the cosmic energy is coming into the planet. So, you can go Google it if you want. So, but it's true, you know.
Yeah, that's so, what's nice. The science is beginning to catch up now with
right.
Well,
they said they didn't know what it was about, but but we can ask all sorts of questions, and because we can ask all sorts of questions, when we're ready, and that's a big part of it. When we're ready, the answers will be given, and then we can suffer a lot less and have to be a lot less in the dark about things.
Right.
Anyway, back to my question. If am I rambling?
What are those pesky Akashic records? Well, my definition of the Akashic Records is it's the energetic recording of your soul's journey, everything about you, everything you are, everything you've done since inception, and all the potentials of where you can go. Now, so obviously there's this huge, vast, almost, unlimited field of energy, and plus I also believe that time is not linear, that it's all happening simultaneously. So when people think about past lives or present, I like to think of them, or even future lives, that it's really alternate lives.
Right, exactly. I agree with you.
So when you start thinking about all this that's going on, it's like, wow, that's a lot. How do I find the piece of information that I'm looking for? And then that's where the questions, or I found that it's vocal. It's a question, or if you're talking about an issue, it's somehow, that is like, seems, at least when people work with me, that's the key that then unlocks that flow of information that's relevant to whatever they are either sharing as an issue or a question they're asking. Because if they can talk about it, if they can verbalize it, vocalize it, or write it out in some way, then they're ready to do something about it. If they haven't even gotten to that point where they can even voice what the issue is or ask the question, well, then even if I handed them the answer, chances are they're not ready for it and they're not doing anything with it, and so it's just wasted effort.
Right.
It's like falling on deaf ears. So each person who accesses the records is going to do it in their own unique, there's something that's going to be unique about the way they do it. They might use the prayer I give, or they might use something else. But I think everyone has kind of their own little specialty or niche area once they're in. Some people are really good at finding lost objects. Some people are really good at tapping into the past. Some people might be really good at tapping into potential or probable futures.
Mm-hmm.
Now, future for me, I get nothing, diddly squat on that. So if anyone asks me that, we just reframe it. Okay, well, what is it about that? What fear, worry, or concern you have in the present that is causing you to even worry about that, because if we take care of what's in the present, and I'm all about change and personal growth, so for me the present is where the power is, and so that's where I get the most information, because that's the way I want it to work. And so that key that unlocks information when I'm working with people, that might be something that's more specific to the parameters I've set, where, I still think there's that definite, you have to have some way of narrowing down what information you want. And the prayer that I use in the book, or that I've given the book, I got that from the records. I ask, what is the most efficient and effective way, for people to, if I'm going to teach them so they can do this, what is it? And that's what they gave me. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, did that answer? I think I got off on a tangent there too.
Yeah. And I want to emphasize that actually the Akashic Records contain everything that is known.
Yeah.
Casey had a, you know, in his, in the writings about his readings, they, if somebody wanted to know where the cotton was picked that was in the clothes you were wearing or where the wood was harvested, you know, from the cabinets, everything can be found in the records. It's the details of the records are, it's a vast library of everything that is.
It's, yes, anything that has form.
Right.
Is recorded. And thank you for that clarification, because I tend to focus more on the
personal, that's your business. You're helping people with that, right?
scientists
might want to know something very specific about some specific object or, you know, or process. You know, when we're doing, we're using the records for scientific research, you know, we have to realize the capability of the records.
Right.
Which is fascinating.
And, you know, and I think people will be drawn to, as they learn to access the records on their own, they'll be drawn to, you know, some aspect of that, some little piece. You know, if everyone got the exact same piece of information, that wouldn't really be useful. It's good, like, that's one of the benefits, again, of being in a group. You can have one person ask a question and five people are going to give a slightly different response because they're getting different nuances of that answer. If everyone had the exact same, you know, verbatim response, well, then you're only getting one little aspect of it. Now, sometimes, you know, truth is just truth and there isn't any nuance to it. But, you know, a lot of times there are those little shades of gray, so to speak, and filling in, you know, we want the whole puzzle. We don't want just one piece to the puzzle.
Yeah, and also it's important to understand that if you don't have the files to understand the information coming in, a lot of times, you know, the information is in pictograms. It's not even in language when we're working with scientific data. And so I've read the records with engineers, scientists, you know, people who are, you know, highly educated. And what they can bring in is very different than what somebody can bring in that doesn't have any, you know, any education about the area. And and same thing with medical intuitives. You know, I've interviewed a lot of, I've done this radio show for about 17 years and interviewed a lot of medical intuitives, including Carolyn Mace and a lot of the, you know, most of the intuitives, actually, because I love medical intuition. And they all say that if you have to study anatomy and physiology if you're going to be a medical intuitive, you know, you can't get that information for other people if you don't know where the liver is.
It is
like,
kind of...
it's hard.
Yeah, I kind of think of it, I used to think of it sort of like that my brain was like a typewriter with... that instead of little keys with letters on them, that there was just little bits of information or data, something that I've taken at some point, whether I was consciously aware of it or not. And that then when I ask the questions and then, you know, I'm getting the information from the record keepers, I imagine like these little fingers of light typing in my brain to activate this little memory and that little thought and that little, you know, but the, I have to put the stuff in there first.
Right.
You know, for them. And then occasionally I'll run into a situation like, well, you know, I can tell I'm, they're trying to show me something, but I don't know what it is.
Right.
I don't get it. And so I have to keep asking, show it to me a different way until I kind of get Lisa or a way to describe it so the other person then can get it. Because a lot, it is very relevant to the person if you're opening someone else's records.
It is.
Very relevant to what where they are.
Yeah, a lot of times you say something to them and you have no idea how meaningful it is. I mean, to you, it's not meaningful.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, so that's good. And something you said earlier made me think about something I call structure the universe type questions. Most of the time I'm working, you know, for my own growth or with clients on a personal growth level.
Right.
But sometimes with my friend that I mentioned earlier, we would get in these conversations that are kind of like what I would call structure the universe questions, similar to what you were talking about. And those can be really fun. You know, that's just another aspect of what you can do with the records, or if people have businesses, you know, their business has an Akashic record.
Right, it does.
And there are, you know, that's not my specialty, but there's someone out there who that might be their specialty, so if someone were looking for that, you know, that would be the thing to do. There's so many uses and benefits, and it's not just receiving information, because it's intellect, information, but it's also a shift in your energy. So there's a change, a shift. shift in your energy field, a change, a growth, a healing that occurs. You know, it's not just the words that you hear when you're, you know, in a session with someone.
Let me describe to you some. One of my friends observed a CEO of a very successful and large company in board meetings. Okay, so imagine this board meeting, and the CEO is sitting at the head of the table, and everybody's around, and his vice presidents and managers would pose questions to him, and my friend said he would bow his head, and go kind of out for a minute, and then he would raise his head, and then he would say what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm.
So, and he led this company to great success. And some people might say it was praying. I say it's as accessing his business as Akashic Records. That's what I say it is. I say he's going in. He has a path in. He gets the information, yay or nay. He comes back out and he directs his managers.
Mm-hmm. And
now he may not know what he's doing,
right,
but he does it very well.
Yeah. There are a lot of, you know, like I said, for years. I mean, for probably 25 years,
mm-hmm.
I was doing it. Didn't know that's what I was doing.
Right. Yeah.
I just thought that I had a lot of common sense. You know, somebody would just come up and you know, and people would, I tend to gravitate towards me and tell me their problems.
Right, yeah.
And confess things to me.
Right.
And
good,
so.
Good advice.
You know, and I just, as they were saying, mm-hmm. talking about whatever, it just seemed like, well, here, blah, 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 blah. You know, it just seemed like, duh. You know, I mean, it was just so obvious to me. And then, so I just thought it was like common sense, you know. But then I started realizing as I got in my 20s, like, well, wait a minute. I'm in a room with, you know, 5 or 6 other people here, and nobody else is thinking this, so this must not really be common sense, or we'd all be thinking the same thing. You know?
Well, and what I notice is if from high school, college, medical school, and on up, even in companies, the leaders would gravitate to me for advice. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was accessing the records either, but I just knew that I would have ideas that would come out of nowhere, and
mm-hmm.
And so the leaders of each area would just ask questions, you know,
mm-hmm.
just, and then I get answers for them, and then they come back and ask more questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think all leaders have people around them, and back in history, we know this is true. And even in the presidency, there was something on either the biography or the History Channel about presidential prophecies and how many of the presidents have had advisors that could access. They didn't say access the
mm-hmm.
records; they said psychic advisors. But essentially, leaders, all when they don't know what to do, often reach out to people who can access the records. And it's very interesting that is probably a good thing to do, because if you start a war in a time that's not, you know, not going to be good for you, of course, really bad things can happen. And even though you might think that you're supposed to win because of superiority, you might be devastated by disease. Or I think there was a time when the Greeks tried to sail a bunch of ships over to take over another island, and all the ships, but a couple sank. You know, they just wiped out their entire navy. So, you know, obviously, it's very important when you're, especially when you're a leader, and you're taking great steps and measures, and just making these large decisions that affect, in this day and age, probably millions of lives.
Mm-hmm.
That you have some advice. What do you think?
Having a good source of clarity is always
that's right. That's
always a good thing. I think that idea, I keep going back to the image of seeing the, you know, the gentleman in the boardroom kind of dipping the head down and
right.
And going within and you know, I think it's that act of going, you know, we all have this inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there. What happens is that some, you know, we get these little distractions or interferences that
mm-hmm.
prevent us
from
make it
within.
More difficult
right.
to be able to access that inner wisdom.
That's
so
right.
Whatever it is that someone needs to do to be able to reach and tap into that inner wisdom and know that that's where they're getting their information from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and trust it.
And trust
the information that you get, because so many times people get the information and ignore it.
Yes, and I've heard and I share with you all the time, you know, knowledge alone really is pretty useless. It's mm-hmm. only until you apply that knowledge that it becomes valuable.
That's right.
And it's the same with the, you know, records or any type of intuition. If someone's wanting to be more intuitive, they first have to recognize that they're intuitive in the first place, and that when they get some little piece of insight, they have to take action on that, because it sends a message that says, I heard you. That channel works. Keep using that channel to send me more information. And it's that application that I think strengthens someone's intuition.
Headaches, back pain, migraines, joint pain, nothing worse than the nagging, unending discomfort of daily aches and pains. If you have pain and are looking for more natural solutions to eliminate your pain, Millennium Healthcare is for you. Millennium Healthcare's professionals will work for you. For help or more information on natural pain relief, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012. Millennium Healthcare. Pain relief naturally. You had plastic surgery, Bill?
You bet I did. I got tired of the wrinkles around my eyes and decided to have Plasticos do something about them.
But I didn't think men had plastic surgery.
Get with it, Bob. Men want to look their best, too. There's nothing wrong with getting a little help from Plasticos to look on top of your game. A lot of guys are doing it, my friend.
Well, I don't know about this.
Look, you see the difference Plasticos made with me. I look better and I feel better. My Plasticos surgery was an investment in me.
So where is Plasticos?
Plasticos is in Dunwoody. Plasticos is staffed by pros who guarantee you personal attention. The Plasticos number is 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available. 770-457-4677.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong, it was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plasticos were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plasticos and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plasticos did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plasticos is a bargain.
Plasticos, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available. 770-457-4677.
Please join us every Saturday morning for Temple of Health Radio Show, brought to you by Plasticos and Millennium Healthcare. Our holistic medical practices in Atlanta are committed to community education. Our shows bring you national authors on topics of health alternatives, new scientific breakthroughs, and spiritual medicine.
Well, welcome back to Temple of Health Radio Show. We had a little bit of a problem there when Comcast went down. We are very dependent on technology, as you might have realized. We're back with Kathy Carlander. Her book, Discovering the Essence of Your Soul, Learn How to Facilitate Your Spiritual Growth by Accessing Your Akashic Records. What were we talking about, Kathy? Do you remember?
Application was key.
Remember where we were?
Yes,
that's your key. There you go.
Application
okay.
was key. You know, put it into practice that if you want to strengthen your connection with the records or just intuition in general.
Right.
That when you get those bits and pieces of information, you have to take action with it because it sends a message. I like to think of it like it lets the record keepers know, like, hey, that method that you sent that information to me works, so send it again. And that I find
right,
it valuable
right.
and I want these things, so. Yeah, application is very
well. Well, in my career, I spent a lot of time covering emergency rooms as a trauma surgeon. So, I like to tell the story of when I go in and at 3 a.m. or at 5 a.m, we've got the patient there with lacerations all over their head, all over their face, and blood dripping down. And this particular woman had gone into a Waffle House at 3 a.m. And evidently gotten into a little bit of a fight with the cook, and the cook took the condiment tray and broke it over her head. And
oh, my.
The first question I said to her, I said, did something tell you not to go to the Waffle House? And this is what she said, yes. And I said, okay, so why'd you go? And she said, because my friends talked me into it. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So I always ask people, you know, like, didn't you have an intuition not to do that, you know? Because, I mean, usually it's very safe to go to the Waffle House at 3 in the morning. You know, it's just this particular time was not a good time to go for her anyway.
You know, journaling can be very, a very good exercise because it gives people that opportunity to say, to start weeding out. Well, in hindsight, they might have recognized that they had a little, you know, insight or intuition. But in the moment, it just
right.
seemed like one of a thousand different thoughts, and they don't know which one to pay attention mm-hmm. to, or they dismiss it. So if they start journaling, they can start to see a pattern. Oh, you know what? And it helps to bring awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And
recurrent dreams,
recognize.
Too. People who have recurrent
mm-hmm.
dreams, you know. That's mm-hmm. another thing. People ask me, why do I have recurrent dreams? And what I say is, well, you know, probably because there's a message there that you haven't gotten
yet. Yeah, what's in the dream?
What's in the dream? That's right.
Yeah, what's in the dream? Let's talk
that's
about it.
True. That's right. Well, write about it, you know. Every time you have there more
right.
information could be given. And, you know, especially if you have a dream about being afraid, it's almost always about facing your fears, you know. So
mm-hmm.
you have a fear, and your dream is about either running away or turning around and facing the fear.
Mm-hmm. And that's another good use even of accessing the records is if, you know, they keep a dream journal, then they wake up, they write their dream down, and then they open their records and say, what,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's the message in this dream for me? What's the significant part, if anything? Maybe start with the question, is
mm-hmm.
this dream significant? Do I need to know anything from
that's
this,
right.
you know,
good.
Do I need to take anything away from this dream and start there?
Right. Or is it
sometimes
just
a dream is just a dream.
That's right. That's
I
very true.
Often have dreams that we might be dressed in like modern clothes, but I'm very conscious of the fact that it's actually another place, another time, maybe even another
mm-hmm.
dimension. I don't really know. Sometimes we start, it's like I experience things, we don't really have the word for them
mm-hmm.
to really accurately describe, but it's kind of, it's like watching a little movie, you know, there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. It's not random. It's not just weird little symbolic things like a sheep walking on a cloud. You know, I mean, you know, not bizarre stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like watching someone's life. And there's a part of me, I call it my my dream interpreter. Because
mm-hmm.
as I'm dreaming, there's a part of my consciousness, my little dream interpreter, who is telling me what my dream means as I'm dreaming it or pointing out significant
right.
things in the dream as it's occurring. And so...
Mm-hmm.
When that's real active, I don't feel like I get a lot of rest. Cause like, I feel like I wasn't even really asleep. But,
one of my friends asked to remember all of his dreams.
Holy cow.
And he felt like he hadn't slept at all. Don't ask that.
Yeah,
don't ask to remember all your dreams because it's really not a good thing.
That's right. Be careful what you ask for because you just might get it.
That's right. Oh,
of course, you know, at the same time, if you ask for something and you don't like the results, and you just ask for something different. Learn from it.
Yep. mm-hmm. That's true. So one thing that people don't really realize they can do, but they can, and because we're all one, obviously, is that if you want to communicate with somebody, you can communicate with them in their dream.
Mm-hmm.
Very effective. Or you can communicate with them at a soul level. You know, sometimes and you say this in your last chapter, we're in a movie and we're playing these different characters. And sometimes the person that you're trying to communicate with is not receptive to the communication in the physical dimension. But that doesn't mean you can't communicate with them, you know. You can communicate soul to soul. You can communicate, through their guides. You can communicate in the dream state. And several times I've gotten people to return things that they've stolen from me because I go into the dream state and I tell them what will happen if they don't return it. It's very effective.
Very nice.
And, but people just don't realize they can do that, you know. They,
right.
they just, it's a limitation that they just haven't. But and so I think that we have multiple ways of communicating with one another. And that, so if you're getting, because so many people in relationship in the physical everyday world with people that they just can't get along with, no matter what. I mean, that's how the Course in Miracles got written, was two Columbia University psychologists were fighting like cats and dogs and said there must be a better way. And then, of course, the Course in Miracles came through, the two of them, actually, to show us a better way of forgiveness and who we really were. So I think it's really kind of neat.
We are very, very powerful beings. And with that, you know, to borrow a quote from the Spider-Man movie, with great power comes great responsibility. And
more,
you know, I think when people kind of, when they don't know any better, that it's almost like they sort of get a pass from the universe of like, oh, well, you know, you were acting out of ignorance, you didn't know. But when you know, and this is my, you know, my little caution for people, as they're choosing to learn, as they choose to become more consciously aware of the power that they truly hold, that then when they make choices to do things with that power, they are more accountable for that. They are held more responsible for that. And so, you know, when you talk about going into someone's dreams or communicating with them, you know, in a variety of fashions through guides or higher self to higher self or however they might do that, that's a pretty great power. And some people could opt to use that for less than positive purposes. And it's important that if they're going to do these, at least in my opinion, if they're going to use this power, that they are always acting from that place of compassion first. Mm-hmm. And that if they're going to interact with another person, if it's no longer just about themselves, that the first question they should ask is this appropriate for me to, you know, maybe they get this bright idea of doing, you know, whatever it is they want to do, to test out an experiment or, you know, go into this person's dream and tell them to call me, will they call me, or, you know, whatever they might want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
you know, to go into the records first and ask, is it appropriate? Is it okay? Do I have permission with from this other person to do this? So that they are always, you know, it's a way to kind of keep their own power in check, I guess, you know, so their ego doesn't run away with them, and that they don't maybe unintentionally do something that they wouldn't really mean to do, you know what I mean? Sometimes I like to approach life in a playful way and to, especially when people go in the records, like, you know, just think of it, you know, in a playful way and take off that burden of am I getting the right or the wrong answer, and just approach it with a playful attitude. And at the same time, you know, being responsible.
Right.
You know, there's
You know, basically, Well, basically, the way I use it is to address usually unethical actions, whereby in the real life, I'm their boss, okay? I employ them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I know when they steal, or I know when they're thinking about stealing, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's a way to give them a chance to rethink their actions, or in some cases to return what they took, rather than face the consequences, which, say, losing your job. Well, you know, losing your job could be a very, very severe consequence, especially in this day and age, with certain jobs especially, for an action that they thought they were just going to get away with, you see.
So I use
it as a communication tool because I think it's a kinder way than just calling the police and having them arrested. I mean, I could do that too. Yeah, that's possible.
Some people have a more natural sense of you know, what's appropriate or where that line is, and you know, they don't, you know, not crossing it. But I like to by default, I go in, my first question whenever I'm dealing with other people is it appropriate for me to do this? And same thing, sometimes I get information.
Yeah.
When I'm talking, I might be in a conversation with someone and we're just having a plain old conversation and the little bits of information come in. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, am I supposed to, you know, in the beginning I thought everything I got in my head I was supposed to share. No.
Oh, no.
You know,
oh, no.
Sometimes that's just information for me to help me to interact better.
That's
person.
Right.
So I learned
that's
to take a moment and ask in my mind, ask the mm-hmm. record. Am I supposed to share this information? And sometimes I get a yes.
Right.
Okay, what's
right.
the best way for me to share it with this person who wasn't asking the question? You know, so it's kind
I
of
have
like
to walk up to total strangers
question.
And tell them they have cancer sometimes. I mean, you know, it's like I don't want to do this, but yet they keep bugging me until I do. And so mm-hmm. I usually say something like, sometimes I hear voices, and right now I'm being told to tell you that you need to go get a chest x-ray. If I don't ever tell them they have cancer, I'll do something like that. And they look at me like I'm stark raving mad. But you know what? Uh-huh. I don't get any rest until I tell them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I keep getting the, you know, and then if I fail to do it, boy, I mean, it's like, it is a responsibility. At this level, you have a responsibility to carry messages to people who really need them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that it means going up to total strangers and telling them things. that you might not want to. Like, mm-hmm. I'm on vacation. I'm not interested in doing this right now.
Yes, we were.
It's kind of funny.
I'm sure you know, you were probably the person in your family, everyone thought you were the weird one, and I was the weird one, and I liked that. I was fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, I was one who always kind of
who wants to be
marched
ordinary?
To the beat of a different drummer, right? You know, and I'm okay
That's
with that.
That's right. That's right.
And a lot, you know, a lot of times with the people who are maybe closest to his friends or family, they're probably the ones who are least likely to really, you know,
mm-hmm.
ask us for help. Some of them do, but... You know, I don't really push with family. They know what I do. If they want to, you know, come to me with a question or something, then, you know, I'm always here for them. But there's certain members of my family that they're just not into it, and then that's okay. You know, I'm all right with that. So we're all at a big family event. It was a wedding. We're out in Vegas, and I hardly ever drink, but, it was Vegas. It was a wedding, and I'd been having a few drinks that night. We're at this
mm-hmm.
club. It's late, and normally I would never, ever pass a message to someone if I've been drinking because, first of all, I think, well, you know, maybe am I really clear channel, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm, right.
But it was like what you're talking about. It was just, it would not stop. Okay, fine. In my head, I'm like, I'm on vacation. I'm on vacation.
That's right. That's what I would say, too. I'm on vacation. Would you give me a break?
It was like, we don't care.
You're never on vacation, my dear.
So it's like,
if you can
all
hear,
right,
we're
so,
going to talk.
So I went up to the person in question, and
mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, first of all, can you hear me? Because, you know, there's all this loud music.
Right.
He's like, uh-huh.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then I said, if I tell you something right now, are you going to remember it?
That's a good question.
You know, everyone been drinking. It was like 2:00 in the morning after the wedding. And,
mm-hmm.
So he's like, yeah? So, okay. You know, and I, even though it was a primary, and I said, okay, I know you can just write me off as your crazy, you know, sister-in-law if you want, but I just have to tell you this. And it was kind of the same thing, you know.
Not really want to.
But I did it, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I did, like, it was later, maybe the next day,
mm-hmm.
and there was a little bit more conversation, and I thought, wow, you know what, that really did make a difference, and I was really glad that I had done it. But in that moment, I was like, no, I'm on vacation.
Right, yeah.
This is against all of my own personal ethics. I've been drinking, it's late, you know, we're in a bar.
Right. Well, but that's something you have to get over, too, because, you know, a lot of times these drunk people that are homeless will come up and tell somebody something very, very important on the street. And I'm sure the drunk person never remembers it. But you see that happen and you go, oh, my goodness. Because God can speak through anybody.
Yes. And sometimes
crazy people, the same thing.
Yeah.
they'll become sane for a minute and say something very, very, very important.
Before I met my husband, we both worked at in a bar. He was a bouncer and I was a waitress right after college.
Mm-hmm.
And I was planning on moving, so I really had no interest in getting involved with anyone. I was going to move from Indiana to Florida, so I thought, nope, you know, I don't want to get involved and have to do long distance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I kept, you know, I found him attractive. I kept being drawn to him, but I'm, nope, you know. So this went on for a little while, and then it got to the point I was within, like, maybe 4 or 5 weeks of moving. I was just waiting for a friend of mine to get married, and I was leaving the day after the wedding. And all of a sudden, it started to become like almost like this obsession. Like I had to. So one night I decided, okay, you know, all right, and it was really kind of building almost to the point where it was unbearable, this desire, this obsession to talk to him. And so I was closing that night. So, of course, you know, people are drinking. It's a bar. And I was walking past the bar, and, like, one of the other bartenders who was off duty was sitting at the bar, and he was drinking. He was talking to someone, and I'm walking up now, and he stops in the middle of his conversation. He turns to me, and he says, "That Don is just the nicest guy." And then he turns right back around.
Oh, no.
And that was all he said to me. And I'm like, okay. You know, and I go on. And then it's like somebody else says something very similar in a weird way. And then I go up into the DJ booth, and the DJ, he was always quite, you know, he was a mess and drinking usually by the end of the night and all this stuff. And Don was up in the DJ booth. And so we're up there. There's this little space. And Don and I have our backs to each other. He's thumbing through music, and I'm standing next to the DJ. And the DJ looks at me. Now, I have not told anyone there that I'm interested in him. Nobody knows him, right? The DJ turns around. He looks at me and goes, "If you didn't want to go out with him, you'd be a fool." And
really?
I said,
interesting. Three times the charm.
Oh, yes. And I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I do. So why don't you leave so I can talk to him?" And he looks at me then. He goes, "Well, whatever you do, don't bop him on the first day." I'm like, "Good to know. Thanks." You know?
Thanks very much.
So he leaves. Now, of course, this is before I have any clue about spirituality or guys or any of this.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, I'm just watching, like, these people. I had no less than four different people within the span of, like, 30 minutes.
Isn't that great?
Who just randomly tell me, "He's a nice guy, you should like him," and all this kind of stuff. So
go out with him,
You know, so we end up talking, and we end up going out. So, and then, you know, he helped me move down and end up moving in with me, and, you know, the rest is history. We've been together for 19, 20 years now. So, but it was definitely, looking back
that's called a soul contract. That's called a soul contract, and you just had everybody's little guides and little things.
Speaking through every little
open
vessel in that bar.
You must be a little hard-headed. Is that right? Like me?
Well, you know, I was kind of, you know, I'm thinking, I'm moving in 4 weeks. I don't want to start
you're so practical.
With somebody here. And so, it was all these people who were, I guess that was a long way of saying that sometimes when people are drinking, they're a little more open and receptive to
messages passed
through them.
I think it's true. I do. I think, I really believe that messages can come from anywhere at any time. I drive home late at night from the office a lot, and I always see all these animals. I see foxes and deer and vultures and, you know, and each animal has a message. I went out last week to do my yard, and I was doing my yard, and I turned around, and I had 12 geese running toward me at full speed. And like, I'm sitting there, you know, in panic, but they stop right next to me and start, you know, foraging for food in the lawn. And I look, and then I say, "Well, I better go look up goose medicine. You know, let's see what this means." And what it means is that you're coming on a great career change. But they were running at me. I mean, geese don't do that. They don't run at you. I mean, well, maybe they do. I don't know. The ones in my yard never have. I mean,
you're waiting a bag of bread, maybe.
No. I wasn't feeding them. I was just tending to the weeds in the garden. You know, not really. I wasn't facing them. But these geese were intent on letting me know that I had a career change ahead of me. That's the way I look at it. But they were so funny. They were just, they're just behaving in ways that, and sometimes the foxes will sit there and look at me for 20 minutes. I mean, just stare at me. And it's so weird because they're real close. Aren't they afraid? I mean, I don't know. It's very, very odd.
It's good that you recognize, and this is one of those things, like, where people, you know, like I said, I think people get messages all the time, but
they do. You might have to look up what they mean, you know.
They don't realize that that's what it is. And so
it is. It's a message.
It's that level of awareness and
anything different in your field, anything different it brings me joy to see these animals because I just love animals. And, of course, to have so many animals so close to me, I mean, you know, within, like, sometimes 15, 20 feet, and not run away and not be afraid. Now, that to me, I think God or spirit or whatever you want to call it has to be intervening because the normal thing is that they would run away. You know that. I mean, they're not that bold. deer, and I mean they're just not. So I take it as a message because they're behaving out of the ordinary. Just like you noticed that your friends, like when he turned and said that, and for no reason. I mean that's out of the ordinary. There's no reason for him to do that. I mean it's not like you were standing there with Don and he was paying Don a compliment. But no, he interrupted a conversation to do that.
And yeah, it was kind of like someone like it just pushed pause. He turned, he said what he had to say.
Exactly.
He turned back, and he didn't even. It was almost like he was unaware of what he said to me.
Right.
And I had later asked, my husband, did you ever, And he's like,
anything?
No, I never really told anybody.
Right.
So it wasn't even that he had said things to people that they were, rah-rah on his behalf. No one knew.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, it was definitely a divine.
It was.
Intervention.
And it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Well, we're coming up to the end of our hour, so I was wondering if you might like to give your contact information again.
Oh, I would love to. My website is sacredinsights.com. Email is Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, at sacredinsights.com. And if they want to reach me by phone, it's area code 317-250-9556. If they're interested in learning how to access the records, the first choice I would, suggest that they read the book, Discovering the Essence of the Soul, which they can find on Amazon.com. If they want a little bit more on my website, I do offer an e-course that includes the book as an e-book and then also some weekly lessons. It's more like a set of questions each week to help them fine-tune the way they ask their questions. And then they also get to send me a question by email somewhere along the process that I will then address with them throughout that. And I also have guided meditations. All of the guided meditations came as a result of me going into the records and asking I wanted some sort of a guided meditation that I could use with my students when I used to teach live classes that would help them. And so those are also available on Amazon.com. And so by listening, what it does is it helps to prep their field, help to maybe remove some of the interferences and blocks that will allow them to more fully, easily, and efficiently access the records.
Well, I'm sure that'll be very helpful for people wanting to explore this. I want to thank you for joining us. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week, we're interviewing Peter Zubin, The New True Infinity. Peter is an expert on consciousness and one that someone I really want to talk to again. And then on the 7th of August, we're interviewing Bridgette Mars on the sexual herbal. On the 14th, Hillary Romero, Bridging Dimensions. The 21st, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, Beat Sugar Addiction Now. And Dr. Norm Shealy will be back with us with his new book, Medical Intuition, A Science of the Soul. Our Noetic Science meeting is 7:15, August 19th, on Thursday at the Dunwoody office. We're going to be watching Dr. Amit Goswami's DVD, The Quantum Activist, and discussing the fascinating information on consciousness. And then we have a Millennium Healthcare Wellness event with Dr. Brad Gould on Thursday, August the 12th at 7:15 p.m. He's going to be talking about great ways using biophysics to help your immune system in terms of all the electromagnetic and other problems that people have when they live in the city or use cell phones or just use microwaves or whatever. Thank you very much, Kathy. It was a great interview, and I guess we will be back next week.